بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 22nd of November in the year 2020 الحمد لله I spent the session last night again taking a glimpse into the exaltedness of our sublime Lord Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And I mentioned the veneration, the last thing I mentioned was the veneration that the Salaf had for the Almighty and Glorious. Consider also the following narrative as related by Maulana Muhammad Yunus Palanpuri in his Scattered Pearls, volume 4, page 62 of the English translation. Someone supplicated for Rabia al-Basari, rahmatullah alayha, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a house in paradise. She replied, first mind the jar, then the dar. First mind the jar, then the dar. So let's look at this. So somebody made a dua that the saintly woman gets a dwelling in paradise. She replied by saying, first the neighbor before the house. This is actually a hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that you should look at your neighbor before you want to enter a dwelling or to take a dwelling. So when somebody prayed that she receives a dwelling in paradise, her focus was on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She put it beautifully. First mind the jar, the neighbor, then the dar. Conversely, let us take a look at those wretches who have no shame even before their loving Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is recorded by Abdul Malik Mujahid in his work, Golden Stories of Accepted Prayers, page 240 of the English translation. So quoting, a young man at a function of the agricultural department during the Golden Jubilee celebrations of Ain Shams University in Jordan once stood up and said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, then he should make me die as proof of his being. His remarks caused shockwaves at the function. So stop in the report. So there's a function taking place, some sort of celebration in the country now, Jordan, in the university. And there was obviously a person who's either lost his iman, was an atheist. And he's basically challenging. He goes, if God exists, let him prove it by killing me. So everybody was shocked. Some whispered that he attempted fate, whilst another said that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his wisdom had granted him time. Whilst another said such views did not make any difference. So again, this shows that people, they thought, why hasn't Allah ta'ala taken him to task? So some said, he's given him time, etc., etc. Then the insolent and arrogant young man went home and felt very proud of himself. When he got home, his mother was waiting for him with a cooked meal. He said to his mother, let me freshen up first. I'll be back from the bathroom in a few minutes. After taking a bath, he was drying his body with a towel in front of the mirror. When subhanallah, all of a sudden, he dropped dead. Time passed. His mother, meanwhile, was waiting. And she called out, hurry up, or you won't be able to enjoy a hot meal. So as further time passed, she worried. She rushed to the bathroom, only to find her son lying on the floor. Hoping he was only in a coma, she managed to get him to a hospital. Examining him, the doctors concluded that he has died due to water entering his ear. Dr. Abdul Razak Naufal commented on this incident and he said, he challenged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he thus condemned himself to the death of a donkey. Because it is said on authority that horses and donkeys die instantly if water enters their ears. So let's look at this. So basically, obviously, you don't challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that space shuttle, which they call Challenger, went up, it didn't come back down. And Sheikh Hamza goes, who were they challenging? Right? So you don't take on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this man, after the autopsy, they realized he died because water had entered his ear. So again, to me and you, that doesn't mean anything. But the authorities, they said that this is deadly to horses and donkeys. Water enters their ear, they will die instantly. So he died the death of a donkey. Abdul Malik Mujahid commented on page 240 of the same book, some people mock Islam and Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to demonstrate they are modern and enlightened, whereas in reality they only show how confused they really are. So how apt is the following verse? Now think about this, look how interesting. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he says in Surah Al-Jummah, Surah 62 verse 5, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا بِئْسَ مَثَلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. The similitude of those who were in charge of the Torah, but who subsequently failed in those, is like that of a donkey, which carries huge loads, i.e. but understands nothing. Evil is the similitude of people who falsify the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide the wrongdoing folk. So look how beautiful. In Surah Jummah verse 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Bani Israel. They were given the Torah, but they didn't act upon it. So what did he liken them to? He likened them to Himar, the donkey. Of all of the creation, Allah Ta'ala likens them to a donkey. Look how interesting. And Allah Ta'ala says, evil is a similitude for those who falsify my signs. Allah Ta'ala does not guide the oppressors, i.e. the zalimeen. So note, he died at the death of a donkey, meaning he was proud of his knowledge, just like the Bani Israel were proud of their knowledge. But Allah Ta'ala likened them to the donkeys. And therefore he died the death of a donkey. Astaghfirullah. Indeed. And also people ask, why is that verse in Surah Jummah? Because they turned away from the blessed day of Jummah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Sahih Muslim that the Jews, they made their day Saturday. The Christians made their day Sunday. They both had Friday. And he goes, we have been given Friday. We haven't changed it. So again, how apt Allah Ta'ala's place that in Surah Jummah. They say, look, the buffoons. Indeed, one should be eternally grateful for all the innumerable blessings which our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala graciously showers upon us, considering the following reports. So again, this is recorded by Maulana Muhammad Yunus Walanpuri in Scattered Pearls, volume 3, page 332-4 of the English translation. Rabi'a al-Basariya, rahmatullah alayha, was once standing somewhere when a young man passed by her and had a strip of cloth wrapped around his forehead. So the saintly woman from Basra, she saw a man wrapped cloth around his forehead. She asked, and he said, this is due to a headache. I've got a headache. She thereupon asked, have you ever suffered from this headache before? He said, no. She then asked, how old are you? He replied, 30 years. Hearing this, she said, Subhanallah, you never wrapped a band of gratitude around your head to thank Allah for the past 30 years. But you wrapped a band of complaint the first time you ailed. So stop in the report. This is how the saints look at things. So obviously, has he done anything wrong? No. In fact, it's sunnah. The Prophet did wrap something around his head, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he had a severe headache. But she believed he was complaining. And she said, for 30 years, you never had a headache. You said that. Because where was your gratitude then? And now the first time you've got an illness, you're showing it to everybody. Then the Shaykh said, similar is the case with us. We spend a life of comfort for years under the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but start complaining as soon as we face a little bit of uneasiness. Not all the material things that we have today were present in the past. In some respect, even an ordinary man of today has more facilities in comparison to even the rulers of former times. For example, kings of the past used to have oil lamps in their palaces, whereas even a poor man of today has electricity in his home. Such a luminous light was not available to the kings of old. The servants of the kings in the past used to move their funds with their hands, whereas now even a poor man has the facility of the electric fan. The cold water we get from the refrigerator was not available even to the sultans of the past. Similarly, the kings had to travel on horses, making their journey last month, whereas even the common man of today uses trains and aeroplanes that drastically reduce the duration of their travel. The fruits today are available out of season in the market and from different areas of the world, and this was not the case in the past. Hence Allah the Almighty, considering our weakness, provided us with these facilities in abundance. Eatables are available in such a quantity that even a beggar of today asks not for food but for money to buy cigarettes so he can intoxicate himself. Subhanallah. So what was the Shaykh highlighting? Ingratitude. And look at everything he's saying. And don't forget, he said this decades ago. Is we've gone even more, you know, advanced in inverted commas. So what did he say? The kings of old, how did they light their palaces? Lamps. Did they press a button? And is the lamp compatible to the electricity? No. Imagine we were sitting in the masjid now with lanterns. We need a few. And even then it'd be quite difficult. It'd be focused. Have you done shukr for this? Then he said, the fans, even the kings, how did they cool? The servants would use fans. Because now we got electric fans. Because we got something that kings haven't got in the old. Ice. Where did they get ice from? Cold water. We've got this. Journey. When you go to Hajj, for instance, you get there within a day. And in the past, they would take them months. They would say to their family that we'll see you in 6 months. Imagine going for Hajj, coming back 6 months later. You probably think you might die on the way. And yeah, we go now, straight there, straight back, within a few days, if you want to. Have you done shukr? Fruits. In the old days, you only get the fruit of the season. If you said, give me grapes, it's not the season for grapes. And yeah, we can get mangoes, grapes out of season. So what he's saying is, we're entering a stage where we have to be very careful. Show gratitude to Allah. And then he mentioned the beggar, and it's true. The beggar, even he doesn't, he's begging, not for food, just to get his drugs. You know, subhanAllah. Another priceless blessing is the night. Maulana Muhammad Yunus Palanpuri, in his Scattered Pearls, volume 4, page 63 of the English translation, he stated, if some people engaged in different activities whilst others tried to sleep, then the former would surely disturb the latter. People would thus be deprived of opportunities to help one another, whereas human existence depends on mutual assistance. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us darkness so that we can rest at the same time without disturbing one another. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us light so that we may easily earn our livelihood. Think about that. Why does everything go quiet at night? Because everybody stops working. Apart from the odd, you know, exceptions. You can have a peaceful night's sleep. Have you ever tried to sleep during the day? Those who work during the night, ask them. Close the curtains, this, that, put things in your ears, even then they can't get a good sleep. But Allah Ta'ala has done this as a system so you can all benefit and work together, even animals. Animals go to sleep at night. As the Almighty and Glorious says in the Quran, in Surah Ar-Rum, Surah 30, verse 23, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَابْتِغَاؤُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَسْمَعُونَ. And amongst his signs is the sleep that you take by night and by day, and the quest that you make out of his bounty. Verily in this are signs for those who listen. This is in Surah Ar-Rum, Surah 30, verse 23. Now what's interesting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this verse that the sign is that you sleep by night and by day. Now why is that important? Because some people erroneously believe you can't work at night. And why is Allah Ta'ala mention you sleep by day? Meaning, it's not the ideal, but you can't sleep during the day. And then he says, for the quest you make. And then what does he say? Look how interesting. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَسْمَعُونَ. Verily in this are signs for the people who listen. And what's interesting about that? What's he talking about? Night. So Allah Ta'ala is telling you, he's hinting that you don't have to listen to anything at night. You have a peaceful sleep. So look how beautiful. He's saying things and you miss these points. But he's given this out of his kindness. And what's interesting, look at the verse just before it. In Surah Ar-Rum, Surah 30, verse 22. Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. And the variations in your languages and your colours. وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. And the variations in your languages and your colours are signs. Now what's interesting is a hadith in Bazaar in his Musnad. A man asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does Allah the Almighty use colour? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes indeed. However, his color is such that never fades. He uses the color which never fades. So look how interesting the question is. If somebody goes, does Allah Ta'ala use color? So we would probably argue if he didn't know the hadith. No, we need to use color. He doesn't need color. He does. He uses color. Subhanahu, he's like an artist. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the difference is his colors don't fade. Meaning you're weak. So when you imitate, you have to keep topping up. Imagine the beautiful blue sky losing its color. And if it did, who would top it up? Consider the brown, green, blue eyes of the human beings. Who is it that produces such artistry with no palette? Imagine the beautiful red, yellow, pink roses. From where do these colors originate? Reflect upon the magnificent and beautiful design of the peacock's feathers. Who was its designer? The beautiful species of tropical birds with the astonishing variety of colors which baffle the mind. And the beautifully multicolored fish in the oceans. Why do their colors never fade? Despite living their entire lifetimes in water. Subhanallah. Right? Think about that. If you put something in water, it rusts. Forget about anything else. Forget about color. And yeah, you see yellow fish, red fish, green fish, right? And somebody goes, underwater, does their color fade? No. Allah designed it like that. So when the light strikes, it looks green, it looks yellow. And then you see those beautiful tropical birds, they're called birds of paradise. Got interest in the fitra kicks in. And yeah, why are they calling them birds of paradise? Because you've never seen anything like it. Well, where's the colors coming from? And they go, light hits it. We know all the physics, but who's actually designed it like that? And they don't think. And then you see the sky, the heavens, the earth, you see the red nebula in the heavens above, right? And you're thinking, what? And isn't that a sign? But his colors don't fade. And even then, you know, for instance, if you look at our eyes, our colors do eventually fade. Why? Because we're aging. Allah has given that a sign. You know, the color does fade. Subhanallah. And to finish, consider also the following. Maulana Muhammad Yunus Balanpuri, in his Scattered Pearls, volume 3, page 77 of the English translation, he said, and this is also in Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 5, Abu Sulaiman Darami, rahmatullah alayhi, relates, I once started my dua after tahajjud. It was so cold, it was difficult to raise my hands. In other words, I was trying to make a dua, but my hands were being bitten by the frost. I therefore made dua with one hand, and in the process, I fell asleep. During the sleep, subhanallah, I saw a huri, so beautiful, filled with nur, the like of which I had never seen before. He said to me, O Abu Sulaiman, rahmatullah alayh, you were making dua with one hand only. Don't you realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been looking after me with his special bounties just for you for the last 500 years? Because don't you realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been looking after me with his special bounties just for you for the last 500 years? So let's look at this. For over 430 years before he was born, the Almighty and Glorious was bestowing his unparalleled generosity upon him. Namely, his generosity came far, far earlier than whatever exertions this noble man made later on. So what's the lesson? Namely, we can never thank our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala enough, and we must realize the true worth of our paltry deeds. This is why in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, should I not be a grateful servant? And his feet were swelling from tahajjud. Now think about that. Before he's born, and at the last 4 centuries looking after the huri, he's not even on earth. Then he's born, obviously, he doesn't do tahajjud straight away. You know, he grows older, then he gets wise. Finally, he starts praying. Finally. And that huri then says, what's the matter with you? He goes, 500 years. And you couldn't raise both your hands. So question, the same is true for this. Right? People say, oh no, no, brother, oh, brother. Right? You know, you don't even understand anything. So note, when you talk about these, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get closer to Him. You understand. You appreciate more so His overwhelming compassion and His greatness. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all I mentioned today was basically talking about a few of the great blessings that Allah the Almighty and Glorious has graciously bestowed upon us. I started with the wretch who made a statement of kufr if he wasn't already a kafir, which led to his damnation. And this is warning one and all not to do this. And his death was a sign for one and all. And then I mentioned, of course, some of the righteous and how they would look at people who were complaining about the various ailments. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحان الله وما بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصوا بالحق ورواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم